Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
Now, Julie, my friend Julie, wants to show me a clip. I'm excited about what this could be.
Well, it's just like, you know, you're from New Jersey, and there's New Jersey is home to the most wonderful people ever. There's this guy who was all putting gold bars up his butt or something.
Yes. Yeah. Bob Menendez.
Yes.
This great man.
And how is he related to Lyle and...
He taught them how to kill.
P-O-U-B-L-E-T-H-R-E-A-T.
Okay, so he's great. And then Christopher Christofoulos, who's going to be our next president.
Yes.
President.
Yeah. Christopher Christie Christofoulos.
Well, speaking of Chris Christie, he had a hell of a showing on ye olde Republican primary debate last night. This thing was quite a circus. Everyone trying to jostle for position.
And it really is a circus. Don't you think politics, in a way, is like a circus?
I really do think it is like a circus, and it's like you sit back and you watch the animals go crazy, and then the ringleader comes in with a whip, and actually has nothing to do with
circus. It has nothing to do with a circus.
Wait, am I the first one who's ever said that?
You might be.
Oh my God.
Because
This
is what Brett said that was immediately, and don't take this the wrong way, Brett, wrong. He said politics are like a circus, everyone jostling for position.
Mixing my metaphors.
It's like you go to the circus. I think you got your pick of seats at the circus these days.
Nobody wants to go to the circus.
Yeah, I don't know who's jostling for position at the circus.
They all want to go to see Oppenheimer.
They're all busy seeing Barbie and Oppenheimer and the Taylor Swift movie.
Don't forget the circus, y'all. You're all going to be begging for a circus, and it's not going to be around because you weren't going.
Your South has been showing lately, Brett.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you.
Yes, in terms of his pride, in terms of things like key lime pie and
calling us y'all.
Y'all.
Is funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's efficient. I mean, what's the other option there? You all.
What's the other option?
Yeah, what would I like?
Oh, I like y'all.
I think y'all's great.
I like
it. It's one of the South's great, you know, it's one of the, I mean, got to be one of their top contributions to.
Well, compared to the other ones.
Sure.
These are the great contributions the South gave us. Y'all.
Easy. Everybody should be saying it.
Sweet tea.
I don't like sweet tea. It's too sweet. Let me sweeten my own.
Hate.
Oh boy, that's from them.
Sorry. Hate. Sorry, y'all.
Y'all hate. I just don't see Tom Sharpling and Julie Klausner, the hosts of Double Threat,
and welcome to Double Threat, by the way.
You seem so defensive, like Brett has a gun to your head. He's like, you haven't been welcoming them enough.
Sometimes I'll say this.
He waves a gun around, like Phil Spector?
Sometimes in the building. He doesn't wave a gun around yet.
Was sometimes. He a crossbow? Yes.
I make these jokes, and he's like, on air.
Oh.
Then afterwards, I think I'm looking at one of the frickin' statues we tore down in the south of
From
his heroes. the stony look on his face. You think it was one of his beloved statues in front of
me. Do you think he keeps those statues in his basement? Like he bought them wholesale and he's like gonna, and he's, there's like a little Mount Rushmore in Brett's basement.
Well, you know, you're referring to Stone Mountain, which is the Confederate Mount Rushmore, which is yet to be.
That's a thing.
You don't know about Stone Mountain? Oh God, y'all! I gotta tell you about this
again with the y'all. He said, what I was about my to God, say before. Y'all.
You better.
This
is a travesty.
Know.
It's an absolute embarrassment.
Pour you some sweet tea. Get ready for a tale as old as time.
You of course know all the good things about Atlanta. I'm about to tell you one of the bad things. Contemporary bad things. They have this. A wonderful, marvelous thing about Atlanta is we have the largest piece of exposed granite in the entire world is in Atlanta. It's called Stone Mountain. It's literally a mountain that's just a stone. It's that big. The largest piece of exposed granite in the entire world, right? This should be something that we celebrate.
Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm trying to stay awake.
Yeah.
You're saying there's a big rock? What's going on here?
Please tell me more about the celebration you envision.
I just throw some cold water on my face here.
At the end of...
Jesus.
Right?
What are you, a geometry teacher?
Be honest, though. If I had asked you before the show, where's the largest piece of exposed granite in the world, you wouldn't have said Atlanta.
I would fall asleep immediately. You'd be like, oh, Julia's narcolepsy.
Well, here, this is what we're going to do.
Surely it's Antarctica.
Brett, ask us the question. Say, Julie, what's the thing? Tom, what's the thing? I wanted you to get each of our reactions.
Got it. Hey, Tom. Mm-hmm. Do you know where the largest piece of exposed granite in the world is?
I thought you were concerned about us reaching out to an audience and sounding interesting and not making references to old TV shows. Now we're talking about, apparently you want us to switch to talking about granite.
Wrong. It's in Atlanta.
Wrong. Not an answer.
Hey, Julie, do you know where the largest piece of exposed granite in the world is?
Julie? Wake up. She's asleep.
Julie's asleep.
We lost.
Well, when she wakes up, I'm going to tell her it's Atlanta.
She might have died. It was so boring.
Did we just take off that top hat?
So anyway, we got this great piece of exposed granite. Once again, the largest in the world. And what do these fucking asshats in Atlanta decide to do? They etch four Confederate generals on the side of this thing and then use it as funding. Who funded that?
Is it taxpayers?
Well, here's the really dark part. It was where the when the Ku Klux Klan reassembled, because they basically went out of business for like 50 years. When they reassembled, they used Stone Mountain as their like rallying cry. It's just a little history lesson.
What is our show now?
Yeah, exactly. Would you say the Nuremberg trials?
Nuremberg trials.
Yeah. This show now sounds like, I can't even say it sounds like this podcast crossed with this one, because those are the ones I never listened to.
You don't listen to those podcasts, but I know what you're saying. I like that Brett's like, when the Klan rebranded.
Yeah.
But here's the crazy part. All right. Now, currently, what it's known for is they have a big laser show every summer. And everybody from all over Atlanta goes to Stone Mountain to see the Stone Mountain laser shows. It's like a family event.
Is it like Jim Croce, like Laser Croce?
The big moment.
Laser Charlie Daniels? Like, what are we talking about here? Because when I grew up, Charlie I loved Daniels. There's a whole.
There's a whole Charlie Daniels section. The big climax is they do Lee Greenwood's God, what is it? Whatever that song
Proud
is.
Proud to be an American.
And then when he says stand up, everybody together stands up in front of this giant rock. It's almost like some sort of like pagan ritual, like Wicker Man or something. Everybody stands up together in the dark.
Too bad rocks don't burn.
Yeah, too bad. Because that would be one way to get rid of this thing.
They should make a movie called Wicker, comma Man.
Mm-hmm.
And make it about this thing. Like, hey, it's a Wicker Man.
Mm-hmm.
And just make it about Stone Mountain. Get this is what we should do, Brett. Get the best of Georgia, the best of Atlanta together.
Yes.
And we blow that frickin' mountain up.
That's what I'm talking
the
about.
The whole thing.
That's what I'm talking about.
With no one on it, of course. No one gets hurt.
That's fun.
Do it during the laser croche.
Kaboom.
Yeah. We get, who's the best we get? Jared Swilly from
We get Jared from Black Lips. We get Big Boy. We get
Big Boy from Outkast.
We get Peter
Nene
Buck.
Leakes.
Nene Leakes. Amazing.
From
the New Normal.
Oh, yes, of course.
She's from the show The New Normal.
Ryan Murphy was like, I got all kinds of casting ideas.
Yeah. Who else do we get?
Oh, we get Ronald Acuna Jr. from the baseball team. We get all the B-52s in there. Get them in a cool car. Drive them down.
Michael Stipe.
So we're saying all of Georgia. We're recruiting from all
the
of
good,
Georgia,
the good, like the Avengers assemble version of Georgia. You know, the good version of Georgia to blow up Stone Mountain.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Hey, this Chris Christie clip.
Totally forgot about it.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, he'll cheer us up.
It's pretty good.
This is from the Republican debate. It was him and Nikki Haley and...
Bill Haley
and Rhea Vicomitz.
Mm-hmm. And they were all debating and they were all trying to get their moments. And Chris Christie had a couple moments, but this is one where he was going after Trump hard last night. He was going toe-to-toe with Trump, saying, you're not here, you're a coward, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then he was building up for this one big punchline. And this is his big punchline right here. I just want to see what you guys think of it. You know, evaluate as comedians.
Okay.
Evaluate.
Oh, he looks great.
Yeah.
He looks great. I like him. I like that he's like the color of dirt.
He is the color of dirt. Yes.
Like that's not Tanner. You know what I mean? That's mm-hmm. like.
Yeah, it's
when
a
you're a
weird...
little kid and you used to play in the dirt. It's that color.
And I'm going to say this, and this is not any reference to anything with size or anything like that. He literally looks like Fred Flintstone. I mean, yeah. I'm not even just saying, it's just like he has literally the same face and head and hair. As Fred Flintstone.
I think you're giving him a compliment.
Yeah, Fred Flintstone's a handsome guy. You think I grew up and I didn't want to look like Fred Flintstone? I remember going to my gym teacher saying, "How? What do I got to do in this fitness regime to look like Fred Flintstone?" My teacher said, "You're always going to be a Barney Rubble."
No, you're not a Barney.
Here, okay. Let's evaluate this.
All right, here we go. And he's accusing Donald Trump of being a coward, of not showing up, of ducking his responsibilities.
Sure.
You keep doing that, no one up here is going to call you Donald Trump anymore. We're going to call you Donald Duck.
All right.
Oof.
So I didn't get
proud of that one.
He was so happy.
He really hits it hard. You want to hear it one more time?
Yes and no.
No one up here is going to call you Donald Trump anymore. We're going to call you Donald Duck.
He does that thing that I do when know I'm saying a terrible line on purpose and I go, he actually did that. You know,
the
if I say
kind of,
like, oh yeah, I'm going to go, I'll see if McDonald's has any more fish fillet sandwiches after I'm done. He just actually did that. We're going to call you Donald Duck.
He's also doing that half smile, like this thing. There's like,
oh, He thought that was going to bring the house down. Because he posed as if it was like, so he's posing for his freaking a baseball card.
Or for his comedy store headshot.
Yes. He thinks that's going to get him on the wall of the store.
All right. It took me a minute to realize that he meant Donald Duck, like ducking responsibilities, when I first heard the clip, because they just played the clip on the radio, and I was like, oh my God, Chris Christie's having a mental breakdown.
What he should have done in my...
Then I realized, and I go, oh, yeah, that wasn't very good.
No, that's one of those ones where like Kennedy, Nixon, people are like, oh, I listened on the radio, and I thought Nixon won.
Yes, exactly.
But you watch it on TV, and I thought Kennedy won. It doesn't matter if you're listening to this on ham radio, smoke signals, Braille. He lost on that one. It sucked.
He blew it.
Now, Mike Pence also had a big punchline that he really sold. So maybe you can compare this and see who had the better, who sold their punchline better. So this is old Mike Pence here.
Joe Biden doesn't belong on a picket line. He belongs on the unemployment line.
who did that?
That was the moderator.
Yeah, she was like,
Joe Biden doesn't belong on a picket line. He belongs on the unemployment line.
The way he nodded and brought that one home, yikes.
I want to hear that woman again, because like I've heard women like do that a lot in
Joe
my
Biden
life.
Doesn't belong on a picket line. He belongs on the unemployment line.
That's the kill me on a blind date laugh.
I'm giving you positive affirmation as best I can, even though I'm probably going to go out the back door of the restaurant when I excuse myself. Joe Biden doesn't belong on the picket line. He belongs on the unemployment line. He almost
my stomach's
did that.
Not feeling great. I actually have to head out. I've got an early morning.
I thought you were actually talking to me. No, I thought you were just like, hey, I'm not feeling great. I actually got to get going.
Every woman
okay.
knows.
Julie, you got to go.
Every woman has the monologue, the let's get out of this one. Because if you say stomach, there are very few follow-up questions.
Yeah. I would say I got diarrhea.
I have so my diarrhea.
Did I tell you about my diarrhea?
Did we
talk about that yet?
Dear diarrhea. Today was a bad one. Yeah. I went on a date with a cool guy who had funny jokes.
Here, read my diarrhea. About you. I like you so much. Here, read it.
How to End a Date by Julie and Tom.
I got diarrhea. I don't feel so good.
What if you were like, so you want to come back to my place and clean my oven? Guy's
you
like,
know,
ooh, that
I
sounds like dirty talk. And then you go back and you just
like
have
that.
A can of that spray.
Oh, oven easy spray. Off. Oven spray. Is...
And the God. Scrub brush. You're like, I'm going to the movies.
I'm going to go see Oppenheimer. Here's what you're going to do.
Clean the oven.
Yeah, but Mike Pence seems like the kind of guy that might be into that.
He seems, does he call his wife mommy or stuff?
Yeah, he's
like,
the one who calls his wife mommy, and he seems like he could be an oven cook.
Mother.
Yeah, like Danzig.
Yeah, that would be the good. I would vote for him. I would literally vote for him if he sang Mother to his wife.
Oh, that? Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you were going to say if that was like his theme song, if he like comes out to that.
If he came out on one campaign thing and suddenly it's like, boom, boom. Like it's playing and people are like, oh, he plays Mother when he walks out. And then they realize he's going to sing Mother. He's like,
it's for Karen. He grabs the mic. He goes, this one's for Karen.
This one's for Karen. Mother, tell your children not to look my way. Tell your children like what to do, what to say. Mother, he's not even sure. It's like, can he hear the music?
Would be cool if Mike and Karen Pence got metal makeovers. And by cool, yeah. I mean just interesting. It would just like break up the day, I guess.
What would you rather see, Julie? Mike and Karen Pence get a metal makeover, or Chris Christie gets a goth makeover?
Like Susie Sue era goth or modern goth?
He's got an eyeliner. Lips. Pale. That dirt color would be gone because he would put all this pale powder on his face.
I wouldn't mind seeing Chris Christie in one of those big stop making sense suits if he came out like that.
The debates.
Right shoulder, left shoulder, right shoulder.
I'll tell you one thing. If I go to a screening of Stop Making Sense and you wackos are dancing in the aisle.
Dancing in front of me or on the aisle.
Will not stand.
I bring a water gun.
Dance. I can't help but dance.
You know what's inside of it?
What's that?
Fish broth.
Fish. If you, I'm, there's a,
stays on the clothes a lot longer. You go get that. Yeah. Good luck getting that out.
Out of your big suit.
Without a wash.
Yeah. See how you do that out of your big suit. If I go, if you go in New York City to a showing of Stop Making Sense and Julie's there and you're wearing your giant suit, don't get up and dance because that thing's going to smell like fish broth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's the nice thing is it's a big target. I'm not going to miss.
Yeah.
Not a great shot. Mm-hmm. But I can hit those shoulders. Pew, pew, pew.
Now, Brett.
Oh, yes.
Well, you got clips for us today?
Yeah, do you have anything for us besides like horrifying, depressing stories of your homeland?
That's all I have about that. That's, TBD on whether that's in the show or not. I know that was kind of a bummer way to start it all. But you guys saved it. That was hilarious. And I've got 5 clips for you today.
I just want to say one thing before you get started, Julie. How many times are we going to save this guy's bacon?
I think the plane was crashing. I had to shake you awake like Denzel Washington in Flight. I had to shake you awake. Said the plane's going down. The plane's going down.
Yeah.
I don't know how to fly this thing.
If you missed our live stream last night,
yeah,
we're recording this on Thursday. We did a live stream last night. We do a live stream every Wednesday, every last Wednesday of the month with people who subscribe to the Patreon. And it's great. And you shouldn't miss it. And you should subscribe to the Patreon. But if you missed it, we got into a let's rate all of Robert Zemeckis' films tangent at some point.
At the very end.
Let people understand. Never once in the show prep was Robert Zemeckis' name ever mentioned as any element.
Like, there was like a deep Zemeckis dive at one point. And I don't remember what I said. So I'd like to apologize if I said anything harmful or hurtful.
No, you had great takes. You had great Zemeckis takes.
This is what I would say. If you don't remember what you said, you probably should subscribe to the Double Threat Patreon. Patreon.com/DoubleThreatPod. The live stream is up there waiting for you to hear, and only you as a Patreon
subscriber. It's so good. It's so much fun. These things are so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're missing it, you're missing the show. You're not getting the Double Threat experience unless you're subscribing to the Patreon.
No. And we're going to start putting more and more references into the live streams, and then when you come to the regular show, you're going to be like, what are they talking about? They go, okie dokie, and then they all started laughing, and it's like, oh, because that's on the Patreon. They had the live stream. It was that's where they came up with that. Now,
but there
just,
was a there was a yeah flight,
the movie
tangent,
Flight. Yeah,
because I think we were talking about Sully and Cocoa Puffs. And
yeah, that's what it was. We're talking about Sully potentially killing one person on the flight.
The Castaway plane crash, which you should never watch if you're afraid of flying, you're afraid of planes. planes crashing. Don't watch that movie. It'll scare the crap out of you.
These are reasons I can't watch Castaway. I'm scared of that. I'm scared of coconuts.
Scared of volleyballs.
Scared of volleyballs.
So that song, I've got a loverly bunch of coconuts. Like your, that's like your, that's like your Halloween. Worst nightmare.
That's my Halloween. I hear that song. So that song to me sounds like this song sounds like to you. That's my horror music. Now the Patreon is where we do these things. You get the ad-free stuff, you get the watch along show, you get the bonus show that Julie and I do every month. And it is up there, and it's really fun, and we're working hard to give you back value for the support you give us.
That's right. And last Friday, you got the latest bonus episode, which I believe was something from the Sal Vulcano interview a couple weeks ago, where Sal takes us behind the scenes on an Impractical Jokers prank and gives us all the behind the scenes dirt.
It was so funny, but also legitimately interesting. To hear about process on for that show.
He's a great guest. He was a great guest. He's
one
great
of the
guy.
Best. Yeah, I love him.
So I got five clips. But look, we ain't phoning in.
Money.
These...
He should give us some of his money.
He should. He's got more money than God.
Anyway, he's got too much money.
I just want to say, but we ain't phoning in these regular episodes either. These things, you get quality across the board.
Ain't
you
phoning
get quality.
Them in. So that is how you want Sandy to talk.
What I was going to say before child. Is if you. Do you think Tom and I look like a y'all? Or does y'all just mean everyone? Is y'all inclusive? It's like, it's not like you see like a Jew and an Italian from New York.
Yeah, you're just like, hey, you dirtbags.
Dirtbags.
Yeah. Get out of my country. What is this, Ellis Island? Get out.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
neither of you came to this country with those names.
Yes. I feel like the one thing I do like about y'all is it is an all-inclusive way to address a group of people in terms of
it's
gender-free. It's like
yes,
genderless.
I like that. That's
and
true. It is genderless.
I do like that, and it's friendly and genderless, which is the appeal of it to me.
That's why I like it. Because I feel like I'm trying to remember what I think I used to say like you guys, and I didn't like that. I like that. So I've started saying y'all more. I like it. I love it, you know?
Yeah, look, it's not my place to say because I'm not on the wrong end of gender misidentification, but some people are okay with guys. Some people are not okay with guys. So that's like as a catch-all for a group.
I would feel like I'm appropriating y'all since I'm not from the wrong side of history, at least Civil War.
The thing is, Julie, won, so we own y'all. We won.
Can use
do
it.
We really?
Y'all is at your disposal if you want
to
use it.
We need to give it an East Coast makeover. Use.
Yeah. Use is
good. Use is fun. Use is fun.
Yeah.
I know a guy in Philly that said use like hard. He would hit use real hard.
Is it
use
Joe?
It all the time. It's not Joe. But I loved use. It's got a real, you know.
I love use too, Brett.
Yeah.
Finally, he says it, Tom.
He finally said it.
We've been leaving him friggin' Valentine's on his chair every
didn't
day.
Didn't cost anything.
Yikes.
Compliments are free, people. Compliments are free.
Well, I can't wait. Look, I've got a hell of a repertoire of clips for you today.
Tell
from
that's
our
really
listeners.
The language you want to use for your
son
to pick up
one
on
day.
Toilet
your
language
pie
like
son.
That. Yeah.
You know, it might be a good next look for you, Brett, because you're into Captain Hook now.
I think. Yeah.
What about Robin Hood?
Yeah, I'm a huge Robin Hood fan, big time. One of my favorite characters from myth and, you know, that stuff, you know, taken from the rich, given to the poor, got that jaunty little hat with the feather.
If you and Sandy dress up as Robin Hood and Peter Pan.
Oh, my God, that'd be adorable.
Yeah.
Are you working on a Halloween costume for Sandy?
You know, well, We thought, because we dressed him up like Peter Pan kind of hastily for the Watch Along Wednesday last week. And he's
so
a real
cute.
Good
I
Peter
saw
Pan.
It. It was
yeah,
so
he's
so cute.
Yeah.
And he saw, did you see this, Tom? He I saw did. Brett and he said, Dada.
I didn't
and
see
Brett
that.
Says,
I saw, I saw the says, picture. Adorable.
No, I'm not your dada, but I could see why you'd say that. I'm Captain Hook.
It's like the final episode of the rehearsal up in here, suddenly.
Exactly. Just damaging a child for life, you mean?
I'm not your father. I'm actually
Nathan
I'm your
Fielder.
Friend, though, Nathan.
So yeah, I don't know. We're thinking about a couple things. Peter Pan was a winner. We might just stick with that, or
you
know.
Look so cute as Peter Pan.
Yeah, you know what you got to go with at some point for a little kid. Mm-hmm. Cookie Monster. Every kid loves yeah. Cookie Monster. You put
the
that
face
blue
can come out.
Thing
the
with the
face
Google.
Is in the mouth.
Absolutely,
that's great. That means I could be Gonger.
Every kid loves Cookie Monster.
And that's nice to get more Crumble. You get more Crumble. Did Crumble offer to sponsor us?
Haven't heard from Crumble. Haven't heard, which is a shame considering all the free advertising we gave them.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
Would be amazing. What happens if you go trick or treating into like a Crumble? If you go walk into Crumble, if you're a child,
yes.
Trick or treat. What do they do? Do they have like a little mini cookie you give you or something? Or are they just like, we don't do
minis.
That. Get out.
No. If you have a child, please go into a Crumble this Halloween and tell us what happens.
Yeah.
I think one of the reasons we might not have heard, I have a theory that there might, that Crumble cookies might not be like run by people, that it might ultimately just be run by some sort
Crumble
of intelligent
cookies
machine.
Cookies are not run by people.
Yeah.
Charlton Heston at the end of that movie.
Yeah. Soylent Crumble.
But well, who runs them? Box AI?
Well, I was thinking, you know that movie Eagle Eye with Shia LaBeouf?
Oh, of course.
No,
who
I've
doesn't
never
know that
heard
movie?
Of it. Are you kidding? This is the first I've ever heard of it.
The whole time he thinks he's being talked to by some sort of government agent who's like leading him through this sort of Jason Bourne-esque adventure. And it turns out the whole time it was just a machine. It was an algorithm that was like that had like selected him. I think Crumble cookies, you go and you order off of a tablet. You know, there's no real human interaction. They really want you to do everything sort of remotely, virtually, sure. Computer wise. I think at the center, if you went into the HQ, Crumble Cookie HQ, and went into there's a door, it says CEO. You open it up, I guarantee it's just a big computer and just a big machine in there that's running that entire operation.
Okay. Did you see the photo, Tom, of our great mayor Eric Adams with a robot in the subway? There's like a NYPD robot. Brett, could you look for this photo, please? Eric Adams posing next to an NYPD robot. And by the way, he was made a Freemason last week. I don't know if you know that.
I saw that. That was exciting. Yeah. And congratulations.
Wonderful. Huge. Wonder. It's really like, and traditional to do it the week between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Traditionally, yeah. The mayor becomes a Freemason. Anyway, there's a photo of him standing next to this robot. And he, because he's the weirdest guy ever, he's doing half of that heart hand gesture.
This is the strange. This is like, I think what's going to happen is everyone's going to realize this guy's from another planet. Like literally.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I mean, act like a person or a human. Like, it's not that he's a bad guy. He's just like so weird.
He
well,
is.
Well, I mean, in some ways, he's really bad. I take that back because of the cop stuff. But like, oh my God, how weird is this photo? Why would he do that?
Look at that. It's like the choices he makes
are insane
every time.
So if he stood next to that robot and made like a full heart with his hands, that'd mm-hmm. be one thing, but he made it next to it as though the robot was going to provide the other half of the heart.
And why are you hearting this robot?
Look how happy he is.
He is so strange.
He's so weird. Brett, get that robot on the show, please.
Got it.
Yeah. What a weirdo.
What a weird guy.
I'll never forget. When we found that thing where he talked about how his favorite concert was the one where a speaker fell on Curtis Mayfield and paralyzed him. And then you find out, he's like, well, the music up until it happened was amazing. It was one of the great. And then you find out Curtis Mayfield never played. It happened when he was setting up. Right there. That's the weirdest thing you've ever heard a human say. That's like,
he's not human. That, and that's exactly it is. I don't know if he's human.
Yeah.
He's from another planet.
Yes. You know, he goes back into that office, locks the door, and then like opens a panel on his chest and starts pressing some buttons, and then like a leader appears like on a hologram in front of him.
Yes, how's the takeover of New York City going?
How is the destruction of New York City going? Well, my emperor.
Your excellence.
Yes, you're ahead of schedule.
That's why he like has to eat all those like whole, he was eating whole fish at one point.
I like
a cartoon fish. Cat to fuel.
Yeah, he would put the fish in his mouth, pull it out, and it would just be the bones. Then he'd play a little xylophone number on it.
He'd be like, ah, it reminds me of Curtis Mayfield, the best concert I ever went to. It
reminds me of that Curtis, that great Curtis Mayfield concert I went to.
This is what I was saying about Crumble Cookie. I think we're on to something here. I think the takeover has happened. Mm-hmm. I think
there are two cousins from Utah who founded it. I read about them last night.
Okay.
I wasn't, you know, pleasure surfing, if that's what you're insinuating.
Okay. All right.
Two cousins from Utah, you say?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Dear.
Sounds like a
penthouse letter.
Penthouse cover. Letters. I never thought that two cousins from Utah could give me as much pleasure as they did this week. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you about the Brookie flavor.
We're going to start writing letters to be like, dear penthouse letters, please send us $50. We need money.
We send it to Sal Vulcano instead.
Yeah.
He might respond.
He might.
I got to say, can I give you a little behind the scenes here?
Yeah, what's that?
We've had a lot of guests on this show and other shows that I've produced. Yeah. I've done a lot of emailing. Sal is one of the nicest emailers that out of all the people that I've, and that's no shade. Like, I get it. You're in a rush. You just do a quick thing. You don't know me. Everything. You don't have to be nice to me. But so I'm not saying anything bad about anybody else, but I'm just saying Sal is a very nice and like, he's very good at it too. Like a little quip, a little thing, and then like a response. Like he's just a very nice
It's a good compliment. He's a good emailer. Seriously. On top of everything. A
thoughtful
else.
Emailer.
Very thoughtful guy.
He's well raised. You could tell someone raised him with manners.
That's it. Yes. That's it. And you know who else is thoughtful and always thinking and helping us out is our listeners. And I tell you what, we have so many great clips to get through today. If with your permission, I've got five clips, and none of them are long. Five clips I'd like to get through today.
Permission denied.
Permission granted.
Override. Permission granted.
Great. Okay, good. Because you're going to love, you're going to have a blast with these clips. I mean, it will, as always, a little roller coaster of emotions. Some are going to bum you out. Some are going to, you know, confuse you. Some are going to lift your spirits. So I'm going to try to get this, you know, mix right so that you have a nice, you have a varied experience of the human circus, and then you leave here feeling ultimately better about things.
Gotcha.
That's the goal.
So let's start out with, we of course know the famous Jason Alexander McDLT commercial, which we played on this show a lot. I found out recently that Jason Alexander was a pretty prolific commercial actor, and there's one other commercial I wanted to show you from the McDLT era.
Wait a minute, you found out that he'll do anything for money? What? I had no idea.
But not our Jason Alexander, not the same one who was on like Seinfeld and stuff, right?
Yeah,
the very same. Not Britney Spears. When didn't she marry Jason Alexander?
Yes, she did.
Okay,
at one point.
Not that one. Not Britney Spears.
I mean, that's one thing that like she's had a lot of not, like bad luck, but I will say at least she didn't marry the other Jason.
Yeah,
Alexander.
Exactly. That sounds like literally a Seinfeld episode. Kramer, George married Britney Spears. Oh, that's not good, Jerry.
So this is this was sent in by Peg. Thank you, Peg. And this is a commercial for a potato chip company called Delta Gold. Delta Gold potato chips. And here's
Do we think this is the wig yet, or do we think this is still his hair?
You know who he looks like there, Julie?
Zaslav. Yeah, there's a little bit of Zazzy's going on.
He's
and
got
I don't
some
mean the
Zaslav
pizza.
Hopping on that. So this has got to be early. So that is his hair. Do you think it's a rug?
That's my question. I need to see it in motion.
Yeah, that's the only way to figure it out.
1986. Yeah, 1986.
It could go either way.
All right, here we go. Delta Gold potato chips. Jason Alexander.
I hope you're eating potato chips because I got to show you something. These Delta Gold brand potato chips are so fine, you can even see how good they taste. Check this out.
Okay, sorry, can you pause it? Can you pause it? I was really relieved to see his hand because he is so excited.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure what was going on below the waist. It just keeps pushing in, and he seems like he's about to explode. So when his hand showed up, I said, "Oh, thank God!" Because the other one's holding up the bag.
I hope that's his other hand holding up the bag.
I hope so too. I'm not reaching in either way.
No, he is terrifying in this commercial. I don't care if you never saw this guy before in anything.
Yeah,
this is like Travis Bickle energy.
This is just the beginning.
Up here now, I'll take out one of my chips, and you put your chip next to mine. You see how golden and light colored these Delta Gold chips are? Well, that's exactly how they taste. Delta Gold chips absolutely sparkle with flavor, and the final proof is you take one out, you pop it into your mouth, and the bing! You are golden.
New Delta Gold brand. You can see how good they taste.
Hey.
First of all, who eats
that last shot. Am I being unnecessarily blue or perverse when I mention the sexual rapture that is all over this?
No. You were not wrong. He was way too into it. Ironically, what he did with that potato chip was something he criticized someone on an episode of Seinfeld for doing.
It that pretzels are making me salty or something?
Pretzels are making me... It was... Oh, he got accused of double dipping a chip into the dip and then taking a bite of it and then dipping the rest of the chip in.
Was that what it was?
He got accused of that.
I would argue with... Respectfully, Tom.
Yes.
That I don't know if this is Travis Bickle energy. I think this is more Marty Scorsese's cameo.
This is him in the back of the cab and good in Taxi Driver.
You ever see what a 44 Magnum can do to a woman's pussy? Yeah.
My God. I'm the director.
See, and I know. He's like, I'm happy with that take and I'm not that. Doing another one. That's we're moving one. On.
Moving on. We got that.
We got it. And he's right. He did. But I can see Jason Alexander doing that monologue with those potatoes. Can somebody please recut that commercial?
Yeah, please.
With the audio
from
Martin Scorsese's cameo in the backseat of Travis Bickle's cab.
Yeah. Do you think that when Scorsese was shooting Taxi Driver, he was so manic that when he was doing that scene, he would pull himself aside to give himself notes and like would go back and forth like, hey, can I talk to you for a second? Like, I just want to give you what is it? Like, try to blah, 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 blah. And like, he's just everybody that's watching this guy argue with himself.
I love to see that, like a Punch and Judy or like a guy arguing with his ventriloquist dummy.
There is nothing more weirdly poignant to me than Martin Scorsese now just basically saying, I got stories I am never going to get to tell. I'm going to die soon.
I love him.
Yeah.
And I love his daughter on TikTok. I recommend her TikTok.
Yes.
Now, speaking of gonna die soon, this comes in from
Brett.
Yeah,
we're in a dark place, and not Garth Marenghi's either.
Yeah, no.
Well, this is about to get fun and a little silly in here because this is a dispatch from one of our listeners in Ireland. James McGlynn sent this in from Ireland and said he just wanted to keep us up to date with the news in Ireland, and I appreciate that. This is something that happened on a beach in North Dublin. Let me pull this up right now. A giant hole, almost like looking like a crater, appeared on this beach. And a local astronomy enthusiast was convinced that a meteor had struck this beach in the middle of the night. And this was a crater from a meteor. And it caused a big stir in this town. So I just want I'll start off by showing you. This is there. You can see the crater in the beach in North Dublin.
A little too perfect for a crater.
I'm
going to
take you through the whole story.
Okay,
the whole story. All right. So this is quite an adventure you're about to go on here. So this is the hole, and there we have a reporter. This is on the local news. There, a reporter approaching it with the local astronomy enthusiast.
It's a huge, mysterious crater that looks out of this world. But is it? The unusual hole on Portmarnock Beach stopped local astrophysics enthusiast Dave Kennedy in his tracks yesterday, and he's certain the small but heavy rock inside it came from up above.
As you can tell by here, there's a scorch mark on this side here, so that would have been at the angle that it came down at. And it is weighty. I'm not sure if it's composition, but we're definitely going to have to find out.
The striking hole soon caught the attention of passers-by, many hoping that what they're witnessing is the aftermath of a once-in-a-lifetime cosmic event.
I live on the beach in Nova Scotia in Canada, and I gotta tell you, I don't have meteoroids landing on my beach at my house, so, you know, thank you for a great experience once again, Ireland.
Is it a surprise? What do you
make
of it?
Wow, I mean, look at the size of it.
So we're down here quite a lot, and now I've never seen anything like this before, so it's pretty spectacular.
There has been no confirmation that this is the site of a meteor strike, but Dave is optimistic.
And only about a month ago, I was watching a documentary from NASA on exactly what you're looking at behind you. So when I looked at it and saw how uniform it is and the blast crater, I knew immediately.
Oh, okay,
that
hold on
I was
one
looking
second.
At.
Right there. Does he not realize other people can watch these documentaries on Netflix and maybe recreate a crater the way they would dissolve in the. And also, this guy's leaning on Netflix for his citations.
I think we should hear what Jonathan Richman has to say.
Yes.
Here we go. Looks very comfortable.
He's very, didn't dress up for this interview.
No, he just popped a squat next to the hole. Yeah. Everybody else was being respectfully distant from the hole.
Yeah.
Even that dog didn't like go in and keep digging it, which has ticked an amazing amount of restraint.
My God.
If I were a dog, I would have been like, well, thanks for the head start.
Now, Brett, let me just ask
yes,
you.
Yeah.
Is there a payoff on this?
There is a payoff. There's a big payoff. Because I do want to keep adding that they keep referring to him as a astrophysics enthusiast and an astronomy enthusiast. You know, he's not I don't think a degree or he's not a professional.
Okay.
He's an enthusiast who apparently watches a lot of documentaries.
Yeah.
But his enthusiasm was infectious because you can see the whole town is gathering around this supposed meteor site.
Okay,
here we go.
So let's just
he's getting them all worked up.
Yes.
Not as an impact site.
Dave has spent the day reaching out to astronomy experts to see if they can help him solve the mystery of the crater on the beach.
The next step is to get this rock tested, see what it's made of, and see if this can be confirmed as a meteor strike in Dublin.
So that was the news account that went out over the local news. The next day, this was posted by a user on TikTok.
When a hole you dig makes the news.
It's just called, the name of the video is The Hole We Dug on Saturday. And it's just a couple dudes at the beach just digging a huge hole, which is what they thought was the meteor.
Oh my.
Thanks, Bernard. Now finally.
Oh my God. This that's is... so great. When a hole you dug makes the news.
That is. The other thing is, there's other people on that beach.
Yeah,
this is not. They're not doing this at 4 a.m. They're just doing this during the beach hours.
It's not a secret. It's not a secret.
So that's what's going on in Ireland.
I gotta say, I heard recently of this treat in the UK called Pot of Gold, Cadbury's Pot of Gold.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so I think people in the UK take pudding a lot more seriously than we do. Like we have our lousy, you know, Hunt's pudding and, you know, like Ron DeSantis eats it with his two index fingers and it's like,
most disgusting thing imaginable.
But I've seen footage lately of this, these puddings they have over there. Mm-hmm. And they come with like a Cadbury flake bar that you like crumble into it. And it's like a pot of like, it's like this like beautiful mousse that you'd get at a restaurant or something. And Brett, could you look to see if there's any like unboxing video of like this pot, like Cadbury pot of gold? My point is that if we have listeners in the UK, they should be sending us these sweet treats.
Yeah.
Because they look so good to me, at least. I don't know if this is your thing, Tom.
Oh, you mean a thing of just chocolate and mousse? It's just like, not exactly what I'm into, but okay. All right.
I also realized that my Instagram suggestion is so depressing because it knows like how much I like to look at treats. So it's just like showing me these crazy ice cream bouquets and like, and they're all these places are in Las Vegas. Like Las Vegas, I think, is like the home of these crazy treats. Sure. And there's one called Cereal Killer, but it's like a cereal, like breakfast cereal type place. And there's footage of this guy eating like from like a fishbowl sized, you know, bowl. And I guess they know that I like it because I always click on it. This is it. Pot of joy. Look how good this looks, Tom. This is Dairy Milk. Cadbury Dairy Milk is the brand.
Okay, I'm ready.
Tell me if this looks good to you.
Let me see. This one. All right. This is... Here we go. Here's
I know that there were like people unboxing.
Okay, here we go. This guy.
Oh, what's wrong with this?
This guy. Oh boy.
I thought it was a bandage. He's okay. It's just a white hat.
Back up on that throat clear.
Hello, my beautiful viewers. Oh, my goodness. What have we got for you now? Oh, it's kind of dairy milk. Pot of joy. Bigger pot made to share.
This guy's throat puts the dairy in.
Yeah.
So. Smooth and creamy dessert made with melted Cadbury milk chocolate. Right,
307 views on this. This could also have 1.9 million views also. Like one of those videos. He didn't put the flakes on, did he?
No, he didn't put the flakes on. Okay, he's just eating it. He's not even telling us if it's good or not.
He just did three spoonfuls with no review.
And like one after the other, like he's famished.
Yeah, this is his own genre of video. I've never seen like, this is not like a tasting video. This is just a watch a guy eat video.
Yeah, this is an I'm hungry video. That's his fourth spoonful.
On YouTube, you can watch it.
His fit.
He's talk to us.
And he did it wrong. He didn't put the flakes on
Six.
He's not going to tell us if it's good. And oh, he's going to he pretended to feed us.
What do we think of that?
It took him six bites to know.
You know you want it. You know you want it. 10 out of 10. That's a gold star and off the charts.
And you did it wrong.
7 out of 10. Yes, you hear me right? 7 out of 10. Anyway, see you on the next one.
What did you say? 7 out of 10?
This guy rules.
This is our new guy, James Higgins, Open World.
What else does he have on his channel?
We discovered him.
He's ours. James Higgins is ours. Why is there so much fire?
A channel of food reviews, but there's like kind of action movie, you know, graphics and stuff.
Let's see.
We got Taylor's Toasted Marshmallow Popcorn.
Ooh!
I want to see that.
There?
On my channel.
And for people who need a description, he's a guy who looks like he's 50s, 60s. And he's wearing a ski cap that has his logo on it.
Yeah, the channel.
A branded ski cap, but a different branded ski cap than from the previous.
Than the previous one. So he clearly has merch. And he's in his apartment.
Brett, Tom, and I want his merch. Could you get us both ski caps?
Get us both James Higgins.
You got it.
Ski caps. So he's in his nice but modest home, trying these snacks on, talking to a camera, a cell phone clearly mounted on something. And it's so,
Before you know, it's Taylor's popcorn. toasted marshmallow, generously coated for an irresistible crunch. 155 gram bag.
Okay.
This is about 225 for garden.
Taylor's toasted marshmallows.
Up for garden center.
How many does he eat? How many does he eat? Let's all take a bet right now. How many does
three.
He eat before he addresses us again?
Three is my bet.
Six, I say.
Okay.
Look, what's there?
One.
He's pretending to eat. Oh, he's pretending to feed us. But he's...
Two. Three. Okay, let's see. Four.
Four.
Keep going. Come on, get to six. Come on, James.
Come on, James.
Come on, James.
James. James. James. James. James. James. James. James.
Five.
Five.
12 views also. Six.
Six. You were right, Tom.
Six. I got it.
I don't know about that last one. I think he was just wiping the crumb off. Let's look at that last one real quick.
Okay, Judge.
Whoa. I don't like looking at his mouth, Brett. Why do you make us do this?
That was five.
That was five. Watch this.
Now, is this a vet? Is this a...
Yeah.
Whoa. He snuck one in there?
Okay. He snuck one in there.
Yeah, he got one in. Right. He got one in there at the buzzer.
This guy rules. We need to get this guy to blow up on the internet. This video has 12 views. It only went up an hour ago. Oh my God, this one's as fresh as can be.
It's fresh. So he probably did it today.
Because they're sleeping
over there. So yeah. He did it this afternoon or this evening.
He just shot this. This is fresh content from James Higgins.
So this is really exciting.
All right, can we see the...
What else does he review? What are those green things?
Those are chocolate mint.
Chocolate mint.
Those are wild. Can we check that out?
All these treats look one day so ago. Good.
One day, this guy's on fire.
He's prolific. Like, subscribe, and turn on notifications. Do all three of those
Hello,
things,
my
Brett.
Beautiful viewers.
Different hat.
My channel. James
right?
Higgins, Open World. What I've got for you now.
Could be. It's hard to tell because of the lighting.
Terry's Ooh. Chocolate mint orange.
Ooh.
Chocolate mint.
Ooh, so it's a chocolate orange, but it's green and it's
that sounds
and
delicious.
It tastes like mint.
Yeah, we were meant to be. It says on the box. Unleafably so tasty mint flavor.
This looks really good.
I got this from Iceland at £1.50. They also sell them at Home Bargains, the tribe there. They haven't got any in. But
I can't understand what he's saying.
Right, let's give it a review.
He bought one for his son. They're £1.50. He got them at the store, but then he named another store you could get it at.
Well, there it is. I love the color. Black and green are my two favorite colors. Beautiful color.
Good to know.
Right, let's...
Santa's coming. It's good to know, James Higgins. For when we get you a black and green Classic. Bathrobe. Look at that.
Oh,
all the slices.
That looks so good.
Hey,
oh my God.
Can you pause for a second, Brent?
It's got a lot of phlegm.
Yeah. Julie, I'm starting to realize I think we're just doing a food show now.
Fine.
I think it's a snack. I know I'm not complaining about it.
Yeah.
I feel like we are doing a snack show now.
We are doing a snack show, but we aren't eating into the microphone, which I think is polite.
I think it's classy.
Although did you have to get rid of any like chewing or smacking sounds last week, Brett, after the record with the crumble cookies? Did I make any gross noises
no,
into
you,
the microphone?
Y'all were very good about leaning back off the mic, so I just left everything in. There's a little bit, but it's
when
faint.
We were
chomping.
You know,
I thought it added to the experience. Mm-hmm.
Because that's a, you know, I wouldn't wish that on anyone to have to hear me eat.
No.
Here we go.
It's a slice. It's like an orange slice, but it's chocolate filled with mint.
Look at the restraint he has in not putting that whole slice in his mouth.
He bit it in half. Well, not only Jason Alexander before, with a potato chip.
Right, Tom, you've had these. The
I've had the orange, like the just chocolate orange.
Milk, dark, both? Yeah,
milk.
Well, that's like that's in the Alan Partridge pilot.
That's in the Alan Partridge in the first series of I'm Alan Partridge.
Some superficial damage to the boxes.
But yes.
Otherwise, they're perfectly fine.
Yeah. The oranges are fine. Some superficial damage to the
damage
boxes.
To the box. It's a great way to give someone a gift.
Yeah.
What is he up to? The second slice?
He's up to
slice?
Three.
Was his third
slice? Yes!
3 bites, yeah.
Oh, now he's going. Now I he's will picking say, up speed. That's impressive Four. Because I would need now a break. He's... I would need to have a sip of something. That them chocolates is rich.
Yes. Now he's just knocking them back, showing
Damn,
us
James, how it's done.
He really thinks about it.
I like no, don't guy. Make that sound. I don't like that sound.
He's rubbing his head. He's really mulling this over.
Making here, some noises.
You know, he reminds me of Donald Pleasance.
Yeah, I could see that.
Like he looks like
Donald
he should
Pleasance
be.
Should play him.
Donald Pleasance should play him. It's like it says.
What
like,
do I think of that?
James Higgins is chasing after Michael Price Myers. Ooh, me boy Michael Myers escaped from the home.
It should have been 125
candy bars.
Okay, he told us that it costs a quarter or 25 pence more than he thinks it should.
Now, chocolate.
Could you pause for a second?
Sorry.
I am dying of suspense.
Yeah.
James is torturing me. What is he going to say?
Not the first time that's been said.
Yeah.
Not the first time that's been said. James Higgins is torturing me. Somebody down in the cellar hears these candy reviews. Help. Help. There's like a group of people like, when he does one of the reviews, if we can get a help, if we say help just right, maybe he won't hear it, but it'll get out to the viewers.
They're
these
short,
things get 85 views.
It.
We're dead. It's like a whole group of people, like 15
They make
people.
A plan because they realize that like, he's totally occupied between the first and the sixth bite. That's when you escape. Yeah.
Now's our time.
Because he's not going to stop after three, as we've established.
He'll do 6 bites. What if he does 3?
He won't.
Trust me, he won't. Let's go. Go, go, go.
I know y'all love music. You love music.
We do.
You're big, Tom and I?
Yes, big music fans.
Mm-hmm.
You know who else is a fan of music is a fellow podcast host, Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan loves a good tune.
Whoa.
Loves a good tune.
I just want to ask. Can
oh,
I just
no.
ask?
Yeah.
Is this him?
Is this the Chili Peppers? Oh, sorry, go ahead, Tom.
I was going to say, is this him confusing Joni Mitchell for Ricky Lee Jones?
No.
Okay, which I saw him do when they were pulling their music off Spotify. Neil Young did it. Then Joni Mitchell did it, and Joe Rogan was like, I like Joni Mitchell, too. I love that song, Chucky's in Love. I love that. I think she's really
God,
talented.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
This Perfect. Is a clip where a Joe...
Bowl. It's like if a bowling ball got hit by lightning and came to life.
This is a clip where Joe, he's doing his show. It looks like he's probably an hour 4 at this point or something of the show. They're pretty deep in it. He's joined by some of his pals here, really great guys, Mark Norman, Shane Gillis, Ari Shaffir, really the crew is there with him. They're going to
protect our parks is what this is. That's their super show, Brett.
Oh yes. Okay. Great. So this is Protect Our Parks. Thank you. And they are gonna they're vibing to the classic song Freebird by Lynyrd Skynyrd. And Joe is gonna explain why Freebird is one of the greatest songs of all time.
Oh, good.
And here we go.
Of all time.
This?
No diggity.
Yeah.
This?
Can you bag it?
Greatest
up?
Guitar solo of all time.
Could
you
be.
Know where it comes.
This in the is, running. Video titled "The Only the Best Part of Freebird."
Oh,
this part,
yeah, it's true though. It's true. It gets to this point.
chase.
He's just like, let's run.
Man, we're a couple of fucked up white guys.
Freebird.
He's really feeling it.
From Florida. Oh,
he loves like, rock run, music. Bro. Can we see that now, move again?
The greatest.
Yeah, so he's really getting into it here. He does the little sort of
watch his hand pump move.
Fist pump.
From Florida.
Like, what run, a gentle bro. Hand now. Pump he has. What a gentle hand pump.
Yeah, very, very, very kind. Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
I never... Else. The only reference I have for Freebird is that it was like... an unfunny thing for people to shout at a concert in between mm-hmm. songs.
Yes.
Growing up.
Yep.
And then I don't know if I've ever heard it in full in a way that I've like paid attention to it, but that example of like, that's everything a guitar solo should not be, which is just like very repetitive.
Stupid.
It's just over and over. Like you have a chance to like, do a guitar solo, like get weird.
Freebird sucks. Leonard Skinner sucks. Brett agrees. They are not from Georgia. They are from Florida.
Oh, they are?
Yeah. They were, God help us if they all were still alive right now, the political views Leonard Skinner would be putting out there. Trust me, they'd be on the side of that freaking granite monument rock thing that Brett was lecturing us about.
Yeah, pretty sure.
They are horrible. It's bad music for like people with bad taste.
Yeah, look, Allman Brothers is not my favorite band, but I can say
I like
from Georgia
that one song.
But with them, you can say exactly, Brett. They are from Georgia. I know that. Allman Brothers inspired Leonard Skinner to exist.
Mm-hmm.
They did.
Yeah. There's a thing where Allman Brothers might not be for me. Can't knock the talent, though.
Mm-hmm.
Leonard Skinner, I'll knock that talent all day long. But Joe Rogan, this is the best guitar solo ever. Unbelievable.
His opinions really do span different genres of
like, stupidity.
Like he has bad opinions about all kinds of
yeah,
things.
Yeah, exactly. What a, oh my God.
That guitar solo bums me out because I like, you know, I like noodly.
Yeah.
Greasy.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Overly long, occasionally proggy guitar. So I like it when people are baroque with their guitar solos.
Sure, sure.
I like that 60s, 70s shit.
Yes, absolutely.
But that to me was just like, you're just doing a blues progression in this space and it is a waste of everyone's time. The song sounds so boring.
It's boring. It's long
it's
and it's boring.
Boring.
It's just bloated. It's like these nitwits and these Florida nitwits couldn't wait to do their own epic song.
Bad I was news. So excited to see Matt Berry's What's in Your Bag from Amoeba because he got the Hot Rats reissue.
He got the Hot Rats reissue because he already has it and he couldn't remember.
I know, and he said he couldn't find it. He
couldn't find it.
That made me so happy because it had one of the outtakes of the photo session and I love mm-hmm. I love those photos.
And did you see what else he picked? He picked an album by Hailu Mirzhia and he said...
I saw my friend Tom told me I should get this.
Tom told him to get it.
And I was thinking, I wonder if it's the same Tom.
It is. We went to a little behind the scenes things. We went to Amoeba, me, Matt, and Julia before shooting.
Oh, cool.
And looked around.
You did some prep, some pre-production.
A little prep, yeah.
That's awesome.
Now I got a clip here that I think is going to lift your spirits a little bit.
Can I ask you a quick question before
sure.
you start, Brett? Julie, Brett installed a clock in the Double Threat, in the Forever Dog studio.
I think it's wrong right now.
Well, I just want to say this. I have a feeling the clock is plugged into the power strip, so it goes off when people shut the power off, and then
Brett.
Goes back on when the power gets turned on.
So
that's why the clock says 8:07 right now.
You're trying to cause Tom to go insane.
look, I got the right thing, but I did make a fundamental
mistake. You mean the clock is the right thing?
I got the clock. Yeah, the clock was the right thing to buy. But I did make a fundamental miscalculation in terms of power and plugs and things like that. It does go off every time I turn.
So
like,
it's
the
not even that
off.
like you know, like even a broken clock is right 2 times a day.
Not if
like,
you shut it off every time you're not recording.
Yeah, it's not on long enough to be right twice a day. It's we're gonna solve that though. We're gonna get to the bottom of that problem, and I'm sure there's an easy solution to it.
Man, that last clip bummed me out.
Don't worry about it. I got you. That's why we are. That's the
yeah.
The,
can we watch one more of James like sampling some delicious looking thing?
We could do that. I also have. I got this. This is a. This is
he
from,
doesn't want to. Tom.
No, he's saying trust me on this one.
Okay, I trust you.
You think you're a freaking sugarfish? The way this guy's saying trust me.
I just, you know, I orchestrate an experience right? here. I'm designing an
sugar,
experience.
Sugar, the Chris sugar, Christie, sugar, look, sugar. Look right into the camera like Chris Christie and do like that half smile.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. The way Brett's talking about, trust me, you'd think he worked at Sugarfish. Do you get that, Brett? That joke?
Oh, not. I don't. Maybe not.
Their
well,
menu
there's
has
a place called Sugarfish, yep, and then one of the
items
on it is the Trust Me, and the chef just makes something for you.
Oh
and
my
it's
god,
delicious.
That's exciting! I love that. Yeah.
It's like you're in good hands. Let us do our thing. Trust me,
Sugarfish.
Well, I'm asking you to trust me with this next clip because this is this is from listener Chelsea, and I gotta say I got a hell of an email from Chelsea. If every email was like this, you'd get your clips on the show.
Oh my
right
god!
Away.
I think Brett is telling us, complimenting these other people's emails, that we're bad emailers. Tom.
Not at all.
He's telling us to step it up. What are they doing, Brett? Dear sexy. Like what should we be adding to our emails to make you like our emails better?
I would start off with a quick
King.
Hey y'all.
Start with a quick personal anecdote from your day. So like, hey, sorry for the delay. Mm-hmm. I was out picking watermelons
watermelons, Brett.
Out of the farmer's market. You know, whatever. It's whatever your day has happened. Some little human interest thing.
Here's what my email would say to you. Dear Brett, let me tell you something about my day. Sorry I didn't get back to you sooner. I was busy recording Double Threat with you.
Dear Brett,
what am I supposed to say? I see you 5 days a week now. I don't know what to say.
Dear Brett, I feel like I'm drowning all the time.
Yeah. Is there such a thing
start
as
with
like,
sorry for the delay.
Is there such a thing as like COVID for the brain? I feel like my brain has COVID, but my body don't because I feel like I'm drowning. All right.
Dear Brett, I've been acting like it's all going to end soon, but it looks like it just keeps going.
Somehow. Every time I think it's over, somehow it keeps going. Thoughts?
Thanks,
love,
sexy.
Julie and Tom. That's from
I do
both
think
of
he
us.
Wants us to start calling him sexy.
And this is from both of us. I'm just saying what would get his attention.
The sexy thing?
Yeah.
I don't know. It sounds like he wants us to call him sexy.
Yeah.
No, I want these to be professional. I don't want us to get into any choppy waters.
Professionally sexy.
I don't want HR coming in here.
HR puffing stuff?
Yeah, I don't want him coming in here because it's annoying.
He's fun. I like him. His eyes roll around.
They do. Can you imagine the momentum you have to get those eyes to turn around on that big head?
That's what the cocaine is for.
That's what Sid and
Marty
Croft.
What do you think puffin' stuff means?
Yeah, you're right. Okay,
please.
I get it.
It's the end stuff that you need to. Mm-hmm.
All right, Brett. So what do you got?
What is this thing?
So Chelsea sent me this email, and this thing was bulleted lists, a description of the clips, context.
I hope the clip is as good as the email.
It's even better. So there's because I had never heard about this. Jewel, you said you'd never heard about this. I kind of teased it to you earlier on. So there apparently is something in New York every year that's put on by City Hall called the Inner Circle Comedy. comedy show, the Inner Circle comedy show. And it's like, as far as I can tell, it's like the White House Correspondents' Dinner mixed with like a talent show. You know, they do these things where it's like all the politicians and city officials are going to get kind of silly for a night and everyone's going to relax and everybody's just going to put politics aside and we're going to have some fun and cheer each other on and laugh at each other's foibles. You know, it's that kind of a night. In New York, it's called the Inner Circle Comedy Show. And when Michael Bloomberg was the mayor of New York, this was his night to shine. He put so much, from what I'm seeing in these clips, he put so much time and effort into it. He loved these things. He was the star of these evenings. And I got a couple. This first one is like a highlights clip, like a montage of all the highlights from the 2011 Inner Circle Comedy Show starring Mayor Michael Bloomberg. It's like a musical comedy review. You'll get it.
This sounds like a real hoot.
Will I be up here long?
No. We just have to issue an RFP, get 3 bona fide bids, go before the community board, submit a ULURP application, and do an environmental impact statement. We'll have you down and you can grab the train home.
Oh my God, I thought that was the vampire and it was just Michael Bloomberg.
It's him.
Didn't you
clearly
think that was a vampire?
I thought 2011 and those hands, he's doing a Spider-Man turn off the dark bit.
They're doing a turn off the dark parody here.
Wonderful.
Michael Bloomberg is up on wires.
And he has goggles on.
Yeah. Great.
Everything.
Great.
And you saw they're also slipping in some like municipal humor there. Like she was listing all the forms, you know, like the audience was dying when she was listing all those forms you have to fill out and everything.
No, we should just be able to, you should be able to slip anything you want through like a dictatorship. That's what they're laughing about. Can you believe we have to consider the opinions of others?
Right. We have to go through this rigmarole instead of like rule like gods.
Yeah, exactly. Why are they not just letting us do our whims?
So this is specifically for people that donate to him? I'm a little confused.
No, I think it's like just city employees. So like local politicians.
So this is like their staff Christmas show kind of?
Basically, yes. Mm. It's a very friendly audience though. They all are in this together. And Bloomberg just goes nuts at these things.
Down and you can grab the train home.
Here we go again. My, my, nothing could be greater. Mamma mia, do our show again. My, my, only 6 years
later. There's Bloomberg in like a disco outfit.
Wait,
there's Bloomberg as a Boy Scout.
Hold on a second. What the hell is that? Who does he look like?
Go back
like
to the disco outfit because I.
Yeah.
Wait, does he have a good body? Okay, I'm so confused right now.
Sounds like Julia.
What?
A little...
He's already at 3 costume changes in the same night.
Tom, how do you feel about Michael Bloomberg's body?
He's in. I never saw him not in a suit, first of all.
I don't know what this feeling is that I have right now.
I do.
Don't sign that prenup, Julie. Stay strong.
Look at the pants and the shirt and the...
Whatever those pants tell me to do, I'll do.
So he comes out and he is clearly... I don't know what to think of this.
I don't know what to think of this.
I think it's, on some level, it's gross, obviously, because this is just like
propaganda.
Yeah, it's just like, and it's also just like fiddling while the city burns. We're all working on our fun variety show that clearly we're taking way too seriously.
Well, I would say there's money, like way too expensively. Like there's an orchestra, there's a conductor, like. This is more professionally produced than, oh my God, the tape in the middle of his glasses where he's dressed as a Boy Scout is bothering me, if only because the rest of the costume, like, I kind of buy.
What's in his between his thumb and forefinger? Is that a rolled up dollar bill? Is he doing coke on stage?
Well, he can't dance.
That's why the term limits had to go.
Since this is a special day for me,
that's why the term limits had to go.
Mayor for life.
Hold on. You're telling me that because he loved the show Mamma Mia,
yeah,
he got rid of term limits?
He's even mayor
FDR
three
wouldn't come up with a yeah. bald-faced lie.
And also like how that. It's like, it's supposed to be like, Mamma Mia, that's why the term limits had to go. And he went, that's why the term limits had to go.
That's why the term limits had to go.
This is a special day for me.
Is he, here's my question.
Look at him, he's playing. He's got some going on those,
yeah,
those
he's
pants
got a little,
in his pants.
Yeah, I don't like this.
Somebody's playing like, pocket pool.
I will.
Looks like the somebody's the Minnesota Fats of pocket pool, and he's in up in here.
I will say, like, when it comes to being a triple threat, like acting, singing, dancing.
Yeah,
I will say. He is bad at all of them, but he wears costumes well.
He wears, and I will give him credit for this. He goes for it.
Well, he really goes for this scene here where he's got a little love plot going on with what I assume is like she's a young woman, very young woman here.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Staten Island Ferry is the most romantic ride in town.
God, what a cheapskate.
Hit pause, please. Just for the audience to realize, there are elaborate sets on this stage also. Elaborate.
Talented people. Are those actors? Or they're not city employees, are they?
No,
they're
I think the chorus must be, yeah, like yeah. professional singers. Yeah, yeah, right. And actors. Yeah, I think they get sort of Broadway loosely to like collaborate mm-hmm. with them on this.
That's your show. Sounds great. I'll go for an interview.
You'll do great. Just pretend you're on Meet the Press.
I'll do my best. And that is this.
What the hell? He just came out and in a breakaway suit and underneath has like a superhero costume that says NYC on the chest.
And by my count, we're up to our fourth pretty elaborate costume.
Yeah.
That's what he's good at. He's good at wearing costumes. Let him wear the costume.
My spidery senses are tingling.
Can you pause it? I am not a comic book fan. As you all know, I'm not like a Marvel fan.
No.
I don't know a lot about that world. But I do mm-hmm. know that it's not spidery senses.
Yeah. Also wanted you to zero in, Julie, on those shoes with a Spider-Man costume. He's
those,
wearing
like $8,000 loafers. Those $8,000 yeah. Gucci loafers.
Yeah.
Senses are tingling.
The moment has come for a true superstar.
I've got you, Pension Monster.
Oh! He can save us from doom.
Bed bug.
Oh, he's fighting bed bugs.
He fought a human dressed as a bed bug.
He said it was budget bed bug.
Oh. Take that, budget bed bugs.
I have to say, I think he has a good body, okay?
And now he's holding a boom box. Now he's doing hand waving. Like he's actually disco dancing now.
Is very upsettingly true. That's very truthful and dark. he got reelected three times just by spending lots of dough.
Lots of, yeah.
I mean, we're all on the same page as to like, God, yeah. The flippancy around his term limits and his like financial influences. I'd say it was disturbing, but I don't care anymore mm-hmm. about anything except for that pot of gold by Cadbury that I wish I had.
Yeah.
So let's cut to the climax here. It looks like where he's going to get back on those wires and going to be.
If you skip over an outfit, Brett, I'm going to be very upset though.
I don't yeah. think, I think that
really
was.
Really enjoy was, the costumes.
Well, here's one more. This is looks like it's just his normal clothes though. Let's see. Would we ever let him go? May or me
now we really know. Mike, why do they say may or me? What does that mean, Mayor Mia?
I think that is within the world of this show. That's like okay. They were like putting on a musical based on Michael Bloomberg, Mayor Mia. So I think that's like one of the in-show storylines. Mm-hmm. It's
so
very
Mia
elaborate.
Is his yeah. name, or yeah. we're supposed to, he's playing a character named Mike Mia, or whatever. This, again, all I care about.
Julie, can yeah. you guess all I'm thinking about with this? I wish Eric Adams would do one of these.
What if it's really good?
That's what I mean. He would be like, citizens of New York City, we're shutting down the system. I have 6 months of rehearsals to do for this.
Yeah, all the subways are done. Like
everything.
So Broadway's yeah. all shuttered because he's jealous.
Yeah, I want every Broadway actor to audition for this. I want... Like, he's just taking it so seriously. And this year we will be doing it at Madison Square Garden while the Knicks play.
The Knicks are in it.
The Knicks are in it, yes. He is... What? And look, God, thank God this didn't happen. What if there was some sort of emergency while this show was going on? And Michael Bloomberg had to rush out of the theater in his full 70s garb.
Disco outfit.
And the wig on his head and like hold a press conference.
Or console someone.
Yeah, console somebody. Yeah.
That bulge in his pants.
With, yeah. What would you rather be consoled by? You're going through a tragedy. The mayor's coming. Would you rather him show up in that Boy Scout outfit? Or the Spider-Man outfit, or the disco outfit.
The disco outfit.
Okay. Good to know. This is research.
Do you have any messages for the world's outgoing dictators?
What is thank you, Joel Klein, and good luck.
Why would we ever let him go? Mayor Mia.
He's on wires, flying across the stage.
Peter Panning it.
And with great power comes great responsibility.
That harness is really showcasing his bulge.
Now we better go.
Is he kicking over scenery? Did he just kick over that scenery on purpose or by accident?
I don't know.
On the left.
Know.
Watch this.
I think it's the UN. It's like bumps into the UN.
Watch this.
He's kicking it. Yeah. He's got my vote.
This is crazy. Why would anyone do this?
Why would anyone do this?
Did he lose a bet?
Or did he win a bet?
And look, there is a highlights video for the 2012 show, the 2013 show.
Just give us a little.
All right. Well, I want to show you like an that was like an edited montage. This is an uninterrupted clip when they were doing like a Little Mermaid parody at another year. So let's see here. This is Michael Bloomberg doing.
Oh no.
So this year was like a Little Mermaid was the one they were parodying. And we got Sebastian the Crab here.
NYC. NYC, ride on the ferry, use the library, totally free. Here we have jelly, shift and shot. There you have Shake Shack in the park.
no he's holding not like his hand on his hip so rigidly.
Down here we got snapping turtles.
Up there we got big bed bugs.
Oh my god. He's so bad.
Up there we got big bed bugs.
He was so soon. He was too early because he was afraid he was going to forget it. Oh my god, he totally stepped on Sebastian's line. Sebastian's like, out there, so great.
Out there we got snapping turtles. Can we hear that again, please?
Absolutely.
Down here we got snapping turtles.
Up there we got big bed bugs.
I hate down him. I hate him. He's ruining everything. He's ruining the show.
Up there we got big bed bugs.
We're ruining this show. I hate him. I hate him. I feel like Corky St. Clair or something.
Wow. I want to ask you this, Brett.
Ah, yes.
What about if and when an episode of Double Threat is going south?
Yes.
Julie and I can say,
hit the button.
Play a Mayor Mike montage.
Yes.
From one of these theatrical runs. That we have years of them in our
something.
There's a lot online. And this is my favorite kind of clip. Each of these has maybe 3,000, 4,000 views. This is a untapped treasure chest. And I'll keep the remainders on ice. I mean, you let me know.
Okay.
You let me know.
Yeah. When a show's going south, we want to watch one of these Mayor Mike
Yeah, but we call it. You don't just play it because you think the show's going south.
We call it. We suddenly go, Julie or Tom, we should play Mayor Mike clip. Boom.
Well, I said I had 5 clips for you this week, and I do. But the 5th clip is actually going to be this week's Patreon bonus clip. So if you're a Patreon subscriber, tune in on Friday to get your bonus clip. And I'll tell you what, it's a doozy. It's a little bit risque. And it involves competitive eater Joey Chestnut. What else do you need to know? Tune in. And with that, I believe we've come to the end of another exciting episode of Double Threat.
I gotta say, this was a truly fun one.
Yeah.
Nothing better than laughing with my friend Julie and my coworker Brett.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Shut up. Calm down, sexy.
That's the worst thing I ever said.
Oh, you said worst thing. That's okay.
I'm just trying to make it seem something, like it was,
can we see another
real
Mayor
cold
Mike
about that one, though. I'm going to have to reevaluate.
No. See, that's exactly it.
But,
my fellow co-worker, my office mate.
Can you show us one more clip of Mayor Mike?
Let's do. Okay. All right.
One on the way out. Right, we almost don't even have to say it. We're going to. Yeah. Let's just see what it is.
All right. This is from the 2012. I'm not going to give you the whole thing because we got to conserve.
Do you regret not voting for him, Tom? I assume you did not vote for him.
I never voted in New York, but I do regret not voting for him.
I mean, voting for him for president.
Oh, he had 4 hours. He was a candidate. Yeah. He was a candidate for 4 hours.
He was a candidate for 4 hours, and Elizabeth Warren castrated him immediately.
Unbelievable. That was one of the most impressive things where they're just like, we're all fighting. But
yeah, I feel like she didn't even break a sweat.
No, she just dismantled him.
I like her, and I like what's her name from California, Katie. What's her name?
Holmes.
Katie
Porter.
No, not Katie Holmes. Porter. Katie Holmes lives here. I like Katie Porter, the one with the whiteboard.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know her?
I do. I do.
Did you see her on Bill Maher with saying she was just her saying to Bill Maher, they were talking about abortion and how Bill Maher doesn't really care about Roe v. Wade being overturned. And she was like, well, you know, your mother made her decision and we all have to live with the consequences. Amazing. But there's a moment where sinks in what she's saying, the audience goes nuts, and Bill Maher gets so mad. I'll send it to you. It's it made me like love her even That's more amazing. Than I already That's amazing. Did.
Thinnest skin.
He had no sense of humor about it.
Thinnest skin in the business.
Well, thinnest skin. And it's like, well, if you're so into jokes and free speech, like it seems like you'd be open to jokes and free speech. But yes. Apparently
yeah.
you're a little baby.
Apparently you are a little baby.
Well, Brett, speaking of little babies, they really busted out the star power in the 2012 Michael Bloomberg review because they got the baby of the Jonas Brothers to be in it. Nick Jonas was in the 2012 version. I guess he was
That was when he was in How to Succeed,
that's
right?
That's right. Yeah, so they're doing a little How to Succeed parody here. This is 2012.
This book is all that I need. How to succeed.
I think it's Michael Bloomberg's like memoir or something.
Oh no, what is he doing suspended? Like, why do they keep
He's
suspending
on a slide.
Him on heights?
He's in a suit.
Oh, he is?
With a bow tie, an orange, a yellow orange bow tie on a slide,
but
right?
Doesn't it always seem like he's like suspended at like a height?
Yeah. Yeah.
In these? Do you think that's a request of his?
I think it's the people working for him figure out ways to put him in torturous positions. To get revenge.
He's dressed like Pee-wee.
Did you go down the slide?
He's waiting for his cue.
Broadway style dancing. That's what I thought. No wonder this is taking forever. Hey, chill, bro.
That was pretty good.
Taking forever. How about getting down that slide in less than 45 minutes, buddy?
Yeah, yeah.
What are you, like 4'3"? Get down here. Come on. Why did it take so long? It was like.
Yeah. Really measured the. Yeah.
Can we see him go down that slide?
One more time. Oh, final thing we'll watch for this.
See how long it takes to go down this slide. Watch this.
That's what I thought. No wonder this is taking forever. Hey, chill, bro. It's
taking him so long.
Yeah.
Is he afraid?
Yeah, I don't think he wanted to roll an ankle.
Well, I think he also didn't want to let go. He wanted to control the whole trip. That's the whole point of the slide is you have to let go. Like,
that is the whole point of the slide. This dude does not understand the pleasure of a slide. Now, I'd like to say one thing on a serious note. I referred to our producer, Brett Baum, as my coworker.
Are you even thinking about this still?
I'd like to apologize.
Were you thinking about this during that slide clip?
I was. What slide clip?
See,
I was
so
caught up.
That's what I'm concerned about. You weren't able to move past it to focus on the work.
Yes. I am proud to call Brett Baum. Come on.
An American?
Come on. Friend.
There we go. Wow. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Everyone.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. So thank you to the Double Threat listeners and the Patreon subscribers. If you're not a Patreon subscriber yet, now's the time to do it. Get on there.
Brett's my friend too.
Brett is
thanks. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. This is a great honor.
Name he has for us because he doesn't want to call us y'all because we're East Coast dirtbags.
Yeah, now you wish you had y'all, everyone. That's maybe. Clunky.
Thank you all for listening and for subscribing to the Patreon. That's patreon.com/doublethreatpod and following us on all the social medias and subscribing and all the good stuff, all that jazz.
And we will talk to you very soon.
Next week.
We'll be back then. Bye bye.
Forever. Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.